Aren't those great words, right? We will feast in Zion. That's great. It's a promise for every believer. We will. Listen, this morning I want to just start off this message by reading something that I found in a book that I have. It's a series of readings. Wait a minute. We'll get to that. There. I want to read this first before we get into the scripture. And it's a series of devotionals, if you will, called Note to Self. So every reading in this book is basically a person talking to themselves. Okay? So listen to this reading on this note to self. Dear self, you need to forgive. You need to. You've heard people say that not forgiving someone does more damage to themselves than to the offender. You believe this is probably true, but you need to forgive others. Your need to forgive others goes beyond the good that you experience from the act. You need to forgive others because God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. Your infinite, holy, and just Maker has not held your sins against you, but instead he has held them against his Son on the cross. Your faith rests squarely on this act of substitution. Your refusal to forgive one who has sinned against you is a manifestation of hypocrisy, a telltale sign that either you have not experienced God's forgiving grace or that you take such grace for granted. Why do you withhold what has been given so freely to you? Have your offenders done worse than you? Are their crimes against you more severe than your crimes against God and others? When you refuse to forgive, it can only mean that you have not yet come to understand forgiveness, or you've been taking it for granted and have not yet sufficiently learned from it. You need to forgive to make much of Jesus and his gospel. This is the real reason to extend forgiveness to the undeserving. You need to forgive not only so that you will find freedom, not only to extend kindness to others, but because in doing so, you exalt Jesus and the salvation he offers to all who believe. Forgiveness points us back to our greatest need, reconciliation to God by way of his own work. Look, you can forgive. This is where you sometimes get stuck. You think it impossible. You have said to yourself, I just can't forgive him. Well, forgiveness is never easy. It is also never impossible. Not for those who have been saved by the grace of God. For the grace of salvation not only secures your forgiveness and models it for you, but it also empowers forgiveness by giving you a new heart and a new spirit. You can forgive because you learned it in the gospel. This is the heart of the good news, that God forgives those who have sinned against them, against him. You can forgive those who take what is yours, tempt you to fail, and taunt you for your faith, for these are your sins as well, and God has forgiven you. You can forgive those who have ignored, slighted, and hurt you, because God has forgiven you of these very sins. And with that forgiveness, he has given you a heart that longs to forgive. The gospel compels us to forgive, and it enables you to do so. Give yourself to meditation on the cross. Learn forgiveness and walk in it. Probably four of the hardest words there are to say would be, I'm sorry. And I forgive, right? At times. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask and pray that you would help us to look honestly at this topic of forgiveness as it is spoken about in your word. And as we heard this note to self that Joe Thorne wrote, Lord, maybe some of that speaks to us, a struggle we have of releasing someone, a struggle that we have to forgive. Lord, give us your mercy and grace today to know what it means to forgive and have the power to grant it. Lord, let us be known as ones who are not only forgiven, but ones who forgive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're able to, why don't you go ahead and stand up as we read the scriptures here in Matthew chapter 18. We're going to take a look at these verses in verses 21 to 35. So starting at verse 21 here, I'll just read aloud. And then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned, to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, Please be patient with me. I will repay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him and released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put him in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. And then the king called in the man who he had forgiven and said, You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? And then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. That's the word of the Lord. Please have a seat. It's a challenging passage, this parable, this story that Jesus told that has a point. Right, and really, if we were to say it in a sentence, it would be something like this. Those who have been forgiven, forgive. Those that have been forgiven, forgive. I mean, that's it. That's what he's saying. If you're not forgiving, if that's your MO, then you really are not demonstrating the heart of someone that has been forgiven. That's what the Lord is saying to us in this passage. Let's talk about that first point. Boy, I've really messed up the slides. So the first point here, this those who are forgiven have a forgiving heart. Where do we get this from? Right? The verse 35 that he says right here says, the very last verse, he says, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. And from this, we can really see, and by the way, the point is not that if I forgive others, God will forgive me. It's not like I can earn forgiveness by forgiving, like it's some kind of exchange with God. No, he's simply stating the facts that if this guy had truly repented, if he had truly repented, he would have extended that forgiveness. He would really experience that forgiveness in fullness, okay, and then given it to others. Now, that's not to say that forgiveness is easy, but he is saying that that's what he would do if he had truly been forgiven. You know, this is not some isolated passage either. If we think about the prayer, when Jesus taught us how to pray in Matthew chapter 6, there, let's take a look. Matthew chapter 6 in verses 12 and 14 and 15. And some of you may know it well. So Matthew 6 verse 12 says, you know, of course, in the middle of the prayer that where Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. So this is a model prayer. It expresses things that we should be praying about. There's nothing magical in the words. They do just express, you know, something that the Lord wants us to be praying about. So he says in verse 12, "And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us." So that's part of our daily things. We should be thinking about releasing people, right, and forgiving those who have wronged us as we have been forgiven ourselves. Down to verse 14, though, Jesus says, "If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins." And he's simply saying, again, it's not about earning your forgiveness. He's simply saying that if you're not forgiving, then you are not displaying the heart attitude of a person who actually is forgiven. Right? So a person who's been saved and has realized the extent of their sin is a forgiving person. And again, we don't want to pretend that the decision to forgive is easy, but it will be something that we will come to as a believer. And so Jesus himself tells us that in our prayer life, we ought to be thinking through as the Lord brings people to mind, right, to forgive. You think about that time when Jesus says, you know, if you're at the altar and you're worshiping, he says, and you remember, right, someone has something against you, even, right, then you need to go. This is how important, right, this is how important forgiveness is to the Lord, is that it would be enough to say he wants you to stop your worship and go and take care of it. Stop, he's saying, and you go and you take care of that. That's how important it is to the Lord. And so, also, take a look in Colossians chapter 3 in the New Testament. Colossians 3:13. Again, just talking about that those who are forgiven have a forgiving heart. This is just, you know, God, again, like I said in the communion time, God begins a work in us when we put our faith in Jesus, a renovation project, if you will, a restoration process, and part of that process is we become forgiving people. When by nature we would become bitter, by the grace of God and his Spirit actually empower us to forgive. You heard some of that in the note to self, that we get the power to forgive as we put our faith in Jesus. So Colossians 3:13. Says, "Make allowance for each other's faults." By the way, I love that phrase because, you know, he's just saying, yeah, you've got sinners all around you because you're a sinner too. Right? Make allowances for each other's faults. It reminds me of a book that Paul Tripp wrote that about marriage called What Did You Expect? I love that book. It's a great book. I'd highly recommend it for anyone who's married. Because he's saying, you know, you married a sinner, they're going to sin against you. And by the way, you're one too. And so you need to get good at this forgiveness thing. Repentance and forgiveness is just going to be a part of your relationship because you sin. And so that's not just true in marriage, but just in life, right? It doesn't make it that, you know, that we feel all good about being sinned against. No. But at least we should not be surprised, right? And so he's saying, make Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you, he says. Again in Colossians 3:13. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Right? So he's saying, remember, the Lord forgave you, so you should forgive others. So, you know, if we're struggling as believers to forgive, we're having a memory problem. We're not remembering how much we've been forgiven. I love those verses that talk about that as far as the east is from the west, so the Lord has removed our transgressions or our sins from us. Isn't that a great verse? It's like, you know, and then there's those verses that talk about, you know, that he's cast them into the depths of the sea. Oh my gosh. I read something, and I wish I had the stat with me, but that the deepest part of the sea is deeper than the, is actually 7,000 feet deeper than Mount Everest is high. That's deep. That's really deep, you know. So if you upended Mount Everest and you stuck it in that deepest part of the ocean that they've identified, it's 7,000 feet deeper. And the Lord has cast our sin into the depths of the sea. He's just giving us these great images that we can try to grasp how much he's forgiven us, right? And then when he says, your sins and your lawless deeds, I will remember no more. I mean, that's amazing. All the things I've done in the past, the sinning against the Lord, because let's even face it, you know, every sin that I commit against any other person is first, again, a sin against God, because I violated one of his laws, right? One of his biblical principles. And then, of course, sin against the person. But the Lord chooses to not keep those at the forefront of our relationship with him. It doesn't mean that God has amnesia when he says that, right? That he remembers those no more. But no, he's not. It's like he's not. And I think we need to get this, because as believers, depending on your upbringing and what your concept of forgiveness is on a human level, you may really be hindered in your walk with God if you don't understand how much he's forgiven you. And that, you know, as a person who's put their faith in Christ, now you receive all the benefits of the blood of Jesus cleansing us, it says, from all unrighteousness. We're just constantly in the flood of Jesus' blood, if you will. Right? And so there's nothing that we're going to do that God can't forgive. Isn't that great? Nothing. And so we need to remember that. Because if we remember that, then we're going to become more and more quick forgivers. Okay? I think really our propensity to forgive is really a direct relationship with where we are in our walk with the Lord. And again, I don't pretend to think that there are some things that are done to us that are just horrific. Right? I mean, we just have to turn on the news, right, to see things that are horrific, sins that have been committed, that we could say, wow, that would be hard to forgive, right? I mean, with the shooting this last week, right, just another example of that. But we need to be rethinking this, that, you know, if I can't forgive, then one of two things really is true about me. Maybe I have never received the forgiveness of God. Okay, you need to consider that possibility. Maybe the reason that you are having trouble forgiving and that you're not a forgiving person is because you have not really actually experienced and received the forgiveness of God that he extends through Jesus Christ. And so that's a question, right? Have you? Have you put your faith in Jesus and received his forgiveness? It starts there, right? Because I really can't give away, in a sense, what I don't have. This is really what this is saying. You know, you could say that's the point of the parable, in a sense, is that I can't give away what I don't have, and if I have not received the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ and been saved, then I cannot really forgive to the level he's wanting me to give from my heart. I mean, sure, anybody can say the words, I forgive you, but from the depths of our heart and truly releasing that person, we need to experience Christ's forgiveness, okay? The second thing that might be true is what we've been saying before here, is that maybe you're not really remembering how much you've been forgiven. Maybe you're taking that for granted, right? And I would say, take the advice of the guy that wrote that book, Note to Self. What were the last words? Give yourself to meditation on the cross. Learn forgiveness from that and walk in it. I mean, I think that's as good as this. We're not really thinking about what Christ has done for us, right? This is so critical, this topic, and it's so hard. You know, when I started, I told Linda yesterday, I said, you know, man, I've got myself, this, I've stepped into the deep end of the pool. You know, just to talk about forgiveness. Because it's so nuanced. You know, you talk about just like in pastoral ministry, when people come to you and they have these scenarios that you were just like, wow, I don't know what I'd do. And it often involves forgiveness and repentance, you know, whichever side of the offense you're on, right? Whether you're the offender or the offended. And it's just challenging. It's hard. And might I just say that the Bible is chock full of situations that are just crazy too? I mean, what about Genesis chapter 50 and Joseph? Joseph's life. I mean, that guy was wronged so many times by his brothers. Just blows my mind. I mean, it just, you know, and it just goes on. I think about these situations. But listen, God's grace is sufficient for your situation, all right? There is nothing that has entered into your life that God, if you're a believer, will not give you the grace to do, all right? His grace is sufficient for you. You have to know that. That's what the scripture says. It's enough, okay? He promises that. I want to take a look at a verse here before we watch just another brief video here. Hebrews chapter 12. By the way, I want to say, you know, Jesus Christ, we do not have a Savior who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. People spit on him. They mocked him. I mean, you just think about, right, those days leading up to the cross. I mean, if someone, you know, could have a badge, so to speak, for the most wronged person, he would have it, right? I mean, but that's our Savior, you know. The one that we put our faith in, he knows what it is. And so, you know what, that brings me comfort. That maybe I'm the only one that knows the hurt's been done to me, and you're the only one that maybe knows the hurt that you have. Except for the Lord. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. Hebrews chapter 12. Take a look at verse 14. He says, work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Well, that says it right there. Work at it. Work at living in peace with one another. It's going to take work. It's going to take effort. You know, it reminds me also of another passage in Romans where he says, as much as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men. Right? I love that because, you know, he's saying, yes, it's you should initiate any rift in a relationship. You should try to, you know, if somebody's wronged you, you should approach them. confront them, you know, and hopefully the forgiveness cycle is complete where they repent and you extend forgiveness, right? But sometimes it doesn't work out, right? Sometimes you, if you've been offended and you approach someone, they don't repent. They don't even acknowledge anything's ever been wrong, right? But it just says as much as it depends upon you, right? So you do your part. You are not responsible for the other parties to respond as they should, right? But this is something that has to be worked at. Verse 15, there in Hebrews 12, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Okay, if you needed a reason to get this forgiveness thing down and realize it's for every believer, here it is. You know, if the fact that we aren't commanded to forgive isn't enough, which it should be, we're told to forgive one another in Ephesians 4 and other places. But right here, he says, you know what's going to happen if you don't forgive? You're going to become bitter. And that won't just affect your life. It will affect everyone around you. You are just like a living landmine. You're like a living landmine, and whatever you run into and whoever you run into eventually experiences the explosions of anger and bitterness. And so we need to realize that, you know, we're not hurting anybody by withholding forgiveness other than ourselves, right? We're not. It destroys us from the inside out. We think we're hurting the other person by relinquishing them from the debt we feel they owe us. And that's really what it is, right? To forgive is to release from a debt. It's to cancel the debt, in a sense. That's why I think, you know, Jesus picked this word picture of a debt forgiven, right? Because when somebody wrongs us, you know, we feel we have the right to take action against, right? And to strike back. In a sense, we owe them, and they owe us. And there's going to be payback, right? But forgiving is to release from that, to cancel that debt and give it over to the Lord. That's what it means to forgive. So, and by the way, did you get that this is a community project? Look after each other. We got to watch each other's back on this, because if we know that one of our brothers and sisters here in the church is struggling to forgive, we need to come alongside. Okay? We need to come alongside and help. That might be prayer support. It might be kind of counseling them on what's the scriptural thing to do. But that's what it says. He says, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. It affects the entire church, really. Unforgiveness does. So, those who are forgiven have a forgiving heart. Let's watch this video here, and this will probably remind you of an event here back in the early 2000s. I watched another interview too of Mrs. Roberts there, and the thing I wanted to take away from showing that is that, you know, forgiveness is a decision. The Amish people would tell you, and they have said, you know, that was not easy. I mean, to the very day of the event, to come up to the house and say, we don't want you to move away. We want you to stay. And to even go to the funeral of her son who committed those terrible acts. I mean, just, it was a decision they made to release any ill will they might have towards her, even though she did not, you know, commit the act. And I just want to say, you know, this is what it comes down to. It's a decision. We decide to release somebody from that. We give it over to the Lord. And that's really what I want to end with here, is just the last point here is just the fact that in the process of forgiving, you trust God. You trust God will bring about justice. Okay, this is really it. I really think. I mean, and by the way, you know, we could spend weeks on the topic of forgiveness, and maybe someday we will. But I'm just saying, I think this is really a big rock, if you will, in the pond of forgiveness. What I'm about to share with you, this scriptural principle of just realizing, you turn it over to the Lord, and you trust Him to take care of justice. Okay, now that doesn't mean that the authorities won't also need to take action. That doesn't mean that, you know, it's always wrong to have a lawsuit, okay? We're not saying that, okay? But you're not taking retribution yourself, okay? But we're turning it over to the Lord, or turning it over to the authorities, or whatever it is. And taking a look at some passages here that help us realize this, okay, is in Romans chapter 13. Right, one of the passages about what the role of governing authorities is speaks to in verses 3 and 4. He says, "For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. The authorities are God's servants sent for your good. But if you are doing wrong, of course, you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong." You know, in a very simplistic way here, he's saying properly functioning government should be causing those who do wrong to fear, and that we allow those governing authorities to punish, not we ourselves. And so we need to see that part of releasing and forgiving is realizing that I will, you know, if it's something that has to go to the authorities, then Lord, I just trust you with that process, right? Another thing, take a look in Romans also. Go back a page maybe to Romans 12:19. Romans 12:19. It says, "Dear friends, never take revenge. Never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say," and this is God speaking now, it's quotations, "I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good." This is what he's saying. Don't you take revenge. That's not that. You leave that up to God. Right? And so we, you know, we when we release someone and we forgive them, what we're doing is we're turning it over to the Lord and trusting that He will stay true to His word. Justice might not be done in this world, but justice will be done in the end. You know, we talk about the restoration of all things. One aspect of that is justice will be meted out. Rights, you know, wrongs will be righted, okay? And we leave that up to the Lord. So we leave it up to Him. Lastly, in 1 Peter 2, verse 19, and we covered this some when we went through the book here not too long ago, but 1 Peter 2:19-23. It says, "For God is pleased when, conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment." Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you're beaten for doing wrong. He's talking about slaves. He says, "But if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you." Again, here, connecting back with the gospel, right? "Just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God." That's what forgiving is. Leaving your case in the hands of God. That's what we must do, unless we're going to be destroyed by bitterness and many be defiled. Chapter 3, verse 9 of 1 Peter says the following: "Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing." Hey, it's going to take the grace of God to do that. Do you hear that? I mean, someone who has wronged you, if the cycle of forgiveness is complete, then we are not only able to turn it over to God, but we're able to pray for their well-being, pray that God would bless them, and to be a blessing. Again, I don't have time to hit on every little nuance of forgiveness, because I realize that, you know, just because we forgive does not mean that there's always restoration, okay? Sometimes it's not possible, and sometimes you just shouldn't because of abuse, okay? So, but I'm just saying, just in general, speaking about forgiveness here, we turn it over to the Lord, right, and ask him for the grace to not only release them of this, but also to just to have, if you will, enemy love, as Jesus talks about, love your enemies. To love your enemies. That's what he wants us to do. End with this. You know, anybody here ever run a three-legged race? A three-legged race, right? Maybe it's with a sack, right? And you have another person, right? Or maybe it's with a belt or something. You bind your legs together and you have this, you know, when you're limping along going like this. And let me just say, unforgiveness is like a three-legged race, okay? You're bound to that other person, okay? Your life will become bitterly bound to that other person until you release and unbind it. And then you're not held down, and your progress and growth in the faith is not held back if you let go. Turn it over to the Lord and look to bless them. Can we stand this morning and pray together? I'm guessing as soon as I started talking about forgiveness, maybe some people came to your mind. So let's stand if you're able to, and we'll pray, and then we'll end with some songs that get us thinking more about this and giving this over to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you just with these truths about forgiveness. Lord, we just, for anybody here that is a Christian, who's put their faith in Christ, Lord, help us to see that we are to be a forgiving people, and help us, Lord, whoever maybe you brought to our mind, help us to make the decision to say, I will forgive, I will release that person of whatever I feel they owe me and whatever harm I have wanted to do them. I release them, and I trust you for the justice to be done. I release them. I no longer want to be bound to them because of my unforgiveness. And Lord, maybe there's also someone here today who's not received the grace and forgiveness of Jesus. And if that's where you are, I just pray that you would put your faith in him and then receive eternal forgiveness of all your sin, past, present, and future. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.